President Obama is sending as many as 30,000 more troops to combat Taliban and al-Qaeda forces in Afghanistan this year. Pentagon war planners acknowledge, though, that many of the enemy fighters are based not in Afghanistan, but across the border in Pakistan. The U.S. administration has a plan for that. It wants the Pakistani military to take on those insurgents. But there is a big problem. The Pakistani army is not going along. Rohit Gandhi reports from Pakistan's remote and dangerous border.
These soldiers are clearing a house they suspect of being a Taliban hideout. But these are not US troops, and this is not Afghanistan.
Room clear, support!
We are with the Pakistan Army SWAT team in the province of South Waziristan. Very near the Pakistan-Afghan border. The Pakistani army is launching a multi-pronged attack against the Taliban, deep inside Pakistan's federally administered tribal areas, a remote area where the army and the government rarely venture into. The army pushes forward towards a village, which has been a base of operations for the Taliban. We watch for sharpshooters. An engineer's officer, trained in detecting landmines, drives us. He's on the lookout for improvised explosive devices, or IEDs. As we drive along the rugged road, an alert.
Okay, thank you. Actually, they have said that there is a suicide threat.
A suicide bomber. We scan for a motorcycle, a car, even a bicycle driven by a man. Who wants us dead. But we see no sign of people here. It is stark empty. The military had asked the civilians to evacuate before the fighting began. We reach our objective, the village of Makin, where the 57th Punjab Regiment of the Pakistan Army readies itself to launch a coordinated strike.
So we are under fire here from the Taliban. In a forward position, and they're making sure that this village gets cleared in the next few hours.
The sound of artillery fire engulfs the valley. As we move forward with the Alpha and Charlie companies of this infantry unit, an IED is detected.
So, from the pressure of the vehicle or some individual, this can blast off. And it is connected to ammunition.
These explosive devices are systematically planted. The Taliban have become expert in this kind of long-distance death.
It's a big blast.
Nice. Yeah. For one, three, Alpha, one.
I repeat, target one. Target one, engage, one round gunfire, over.
Today's operation is successful. The village falls to the Pakistani army and a huge cache of ammunition is recovered.
A number of compounds in a particular village, when we go in those compounds we find weapons. We found major weapons like RPGs, rocket propelled grenades, launchers, and same way 82mm mortar.
The Pakistani army says the Taliban are bringing weapons and ammunition from Afghanistan in huge quantities. From Makin, the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan is only a few miles away, but it's virtually non-existent. As the American troop surge ramps up across the border, the likely result is that more Taliban will retreat into Pakistan, putting Pakistan's already stretched army under more pressure. The worry is that the Taliban will camp out here, cause widespread destruction, and then simply move back to Afghanistan again when the US troop presence winds down. This wouldn't be the first time the Taliban have used Pakistani territory as a rear guard retreat. The tribal areas are their most sympathetic refuge. Most people here are from the Pashtun tribe, like the Afghani Taliban. I meet up with one of the key officers overseeing the Pakistani army's move into the border areas. Brigadier Shafiq has a long beard and no mustache, a sign of a devout Muslim. But he is determined to wipe out the Taliban. Shafiq is commander of the Jhandola flank. He takes me on an aerial tour of the rugged landscape of South Waziristan. It is dotted with small, isolated villages like Makin. It is impossible for the army to control them all. The atmosphere is tense. A cobra flies escort, watching for the Taliban rockets that could shoot us out of the sky. The mountaintop we land on was a key Taliban holdout. The Pakistani army took it over in 2 days of heavy fighting. The Pakistani military is now coordinating its maneuvers from here.
Which was under their control. Mm-hmm. But now we have our forces which have taken Makin and have come up to this track, this road junction.
How many extremists would be stuck inside this triangle?
The exact numbers I cannot give now, but to my rough estimate would be close to 2,000 should be there.
Least. And how well armed are they?
They are very well armed.
50 helicopters, 80 tanks, and dozens of armored vehicles were deployed in South Waziristan for the fighting. Army figures show that close to 500 terrorists have been killed. Dozens have been captured. Last month, this offensive was declared a success. But it is far from over.
Wait, wait. Imran, wait.
There have been dozens of Taliban attacks in recent weeks. But the bigger problem is that the main Taliban leaders have slipped away to other tribal areas. The US says the Pakistan army is not doing enough. These soldiers on the ground disagree.
Give me okay report first, Imran.
They can come over here, they sit with us, and they see what we are doing. Things are right in front of you. This is unconventional war. What we are doing over here, it's not for ourselves, for Pakistan. Rather, we are doing for the whole world.
But in spite of the army's offensive, Taliban keep retaking villages like Makin. As the night falls, Taliban begin resurfacing and moving. The army does not sleep either, pounding them with 130mm artillery shells. Fire! These rugged mountains must be cleared, village by village, ridge by ridge, again and again. This was the home of Baitullah Masood, the most notorious Taliban leader in Pakistan. He headed the Tehreek-e-Taliban, a once 5,000-member strong force. In August 2009, he was killed in a U.S. drone attack. Baitullah is believed to be responsible for the assassination of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. Today, his house has been flattened by the army. They found a large quantity of weapons stored in an underground bunker.
And they bring them here, and they depict it.
Just a few hundred meters away, a disturbing scene. A complex that was the indoctrination center for teenage suicide bombers.
This may be the stages rooming, from one room to another beautiful room to another beautiful room, and it may be
the rooms depict Jannat or heaven.
That somebody has a terrorism act, somebody is for big terrorism act, somebody is for biggest terrorism act.
A vision of the afterlife that these young kids are told lies in store for them after they blow themselves up.
You can see the milk is coming out, and there's a beautiful mountains and whatever, the people who will die, who will do the act of suicide and whatever else, who will die, they will be going like this. The pictures of women in this, that they are beautiful women there, and you're going to get. And this is all what you can see.
So this is for the concept of the 72 virgins that they may get after they go to heaven, isn't it?
Yes, this is what the image they wanted to falsely portray.
The Taliban brought boys as young as 13 and 14 to this center. Morphine and other drugs were used, to send them off on their final journey.
So this is written in blood, isn't it?
Yes, this is written in blood. They have been...
Before taking off for the suicide mission, each of these children would write his name on the wall. The ink, his own blood. Inside the compound, another horrifying sight.
So, this is the place where these terrorists used to bring the innocent people.
The killing pit of the Taliban. Here they chopped off the heads of the enemy, the infidels, and the munafiks or hypocrites, who were people they considered false Muslims.
You see, this blood is not a finger blood. It has been marked with some brush. So a lot, a large quantity of blood, and this all...
On the walls, the killers wrote, with the spilled blood of the infidels. Here it says, this is what they deserve. Makin is cleared, but its residents cannot yet return. The area remains a war zone.
It shows, you know, like people left in a hurry. Because if you see, everything still spread around, slippers and mats, even pillows. But people left as the Pakistani army gave them very short notice to exit the city to make sure that they're safe.
Hundreds of thousands of people have fled the border areas and taken refuge in towns and refugee centers. It's become a huge problem for Pakistan. We go in search of the families who fled the village of Makin. They belong to the Pashtun tribal group called Masood.
After flying for an hour and a half, we've landed here in Dera Ghazi Khan. What we are here for is to meet the internally displaced people or the refugees. They're not far from here, approximately a few kilometers from here. They've set up tents to distribute aid to them.
We drive with heavily armed guards through the streets of Dera Ismail Khan. This town is located over 250 miles from Makin. Our destination is a stadium where government aid is being distributed to the people of the Masood tribe. Nearly 300,000 Masoods have escaped the fighting in South Waziristan. It is their extremist brethren who form the core of the Tehreek-e-Taliban, now led by this man, Hakimullah Masood, who replaced Baitullah Masood after he was killed. Like most of the tribes in this region, the Masoods have close ties to tribes in Afghanistan. But people at this stadium have no role in the fighting. Still, they are carefully frisked as they enter the site. This is a prime target for Masood terrorists, who would punish their own tribesmen for accepting government help. Masood tribesmen and children who come here receive supplies meant to last for a month. Women are not allowed, as the tribe does not permit them to come and collect aid. But one or two still slip in. They have no one left in their family to come collect for them. Many Pashtuns, who resent the military's presence in their land, let their sympathy for the Taliban show. This group includes Gul Bahadur Masood, a Pashtun, but a former Pakistan military soldier, who says his former employer should stay away from his territory.
The Pakistan army has come here now, just like the British army did once upon a time. This army should do what the British did then, stay in their camps and leave us alone.
America is very unpopular among the people here. If Gul Bahadur's attitude is a good indication of the Pashtun stance, the winning of hearts and minds will not be an easy task.
America has come here and messed things up. What do they want here? Brother, leave us to defend our own land. I am 75 years old, and I swear to God I can still hit a target.
Is it possible to convince villagers that the Taliban is the enemy? We travel to the Valley of Swat to find out. This area was taken by the Taliban in 2007. They held it until the Pakistani army cleared Swat in July 2009. The hustle on the street is back, but houses are riddled with bullet holes, a reminder of what the area has seen. But the Taliban did not shoot their way to power. Their talk about the Quran and Islamic law captured the attention and support of the locals. But once in power, the Taliban turned to violence. They targeted this girl's school. Village head Saifullah remembers the night. The Taliban smuggled in an explosive device, destroying the classrooms, the courtyard, the library, where 200 girls had studied.
They're against girls' education, but they're also against the education of boys. They preach, take up arms, and fight against Pakistan, instead of staying in school and studying.
The cleanup of the place has now begun. The villagers hope to have the school up and running in a few months.
You will not give anything to our son in any...
Malala Yousafzai, a 12-year-old, is a victim of the regressive policies of the Taliban.
The Taliban came in 2007 and they used to give sermons on the FM radio. And they usually talked about the girls that they must not go to school and education is not important for girls.
Malala was frightened, but she risked her life to keep learning.
We used to hide our books under our shawls and we used to go to school in our home dresses instead of school uniform.
The consequences if she were found by the Taliban were grim.
I was thinking that if the Taliban caught me, so they can throw acid on my face and they can kidnap me and they can do anything because they have slaughtered many people in the squares and hanged them upside down.
The village head of Totano Bandai now travels with two Kalashnikovs by his side. He introduces me to his village defense committee. The defense committee was formed once Taliban brutality began to turn people against them. They say the terrorists will never be able to return. The villagers and the military have now destroyed every home owned by families who had helped prop up the rule of the Taliban in the area, sending a clear message. Please do not return. The Pakistani army points to Swat as a success story, saying a combination of negotiation, patience, and military action paid off.
I've heard it being called
General Tariq Khan of the Frontier Constabulary is in charge of the tribal areas. He's a Pashtun who hails from the tribal region.
There was no public support for military operations. And we had to go down a road of negotiations, compromises, deals, which weren't very good. And it was necessary to do so, so that peace was given a chance.
But the problem of the Taliban has spread. There have been dozens of suicide bombings in Pakistan's major cities over the past 2 years. In Rawalpindi, Abu Bakar Zahid, an 8-year-old, comes to this mosque every day. His father, an army officer, died in a suicide bombing while praying here one afternoon, just a few weeks ago. Abu comes here to see his father's slippers, left at the entrance before the bomb went off. Suicide attacks in Pakistan in the last 2 years have killed over 2,000 people. The landscape of Pakistan's cities has been altered for a long time to come.
I think the army is indeed...
Pervez Hoodboy is a respected political defense analyst based in Islamabad. He says Pakistani public opinion has turned against the Taliban and they now tolerate U.S. drone attacks in tribal areas.
The fact is that Baitullah Masood, who was the killer of Pakistanis, those praying in mosques, in attending funerals and so forth, was killed by an American drone.
The U.S. administration has been pressuring the Pakistani military to attack the Haqqani network, the main threat to the U.S. and Afghanistan. They are headquartered in North Waziristan. Osama bin Laden is also suspected to be hiding in North Waziristan. The U.S. accuses the Pakistani army of not mounting any major offensives directed towards these threats. The priority, army says, is to kill or capture the Taliban elements that have targeted Pakistan.
Those who attack the Pakistan army are the bad Taliban. They've got to be targeted, cleared out, killed, whatever. In spite of a lot of American pressure, the Pakistan army has absolutely refused to touch the Haqqani group, the Waziristan, the people in North Waziristan who are not attacking Pakistani, but they're attacking the Americans.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
The Pakistan Army insists it can't take on all groups at once and must protect their citizens first.
Swat and Waziristan. We'll go to Waziristan first.
General Athar Abbas is the spokesperson of the Pakistani military.
It is said first things first. So the organizations, the terrorist organization, which are directly affecting the state, the government, the public, and so is the case of this Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan of Baitullah Network. Now this organization is responsible for all acts of terrorism in our country, and therefore the government had decided to move against this organization.
This may not be good enough for the US if Pakistan does not move soon against the Haqqani Network of Afghan insurgents based inside Pakistan's borders. The US signal it may send American troops across the border into Pakistan in hot pursuit. Pervez Hoodboy says that would turn Pakistani public opinion completely against the US. He says Pakistanis know it was the Americans and the CIA that got this all started in the first place.
If you were to say, where does the genesis of jihad, global jihad, come from, I will point it squarely at the United States. It had made the fight against the Soviets a religious war. The fact is that the CIA distributed hundreds of thousands of Qurans to madrasas, to those who it was seeking to influence in Afghanistan. It succeeded brilliantly, but look at what enormous cost.
Pakistan's military leaders describe this as a guerrilla war with a wily enemy, where brute military force alone cannot succeed. Waziristan is not Swat. In Swat, the Taliban were outsiders. In Waziristan, they are insiders. There are no village defense committees helping the army here. Dealing with the Pashtun tribesmen will need political will, deal-making, money, and cultural understanding.
You can take a tribal to hell with love, but you can't take him to heaven with anger. He loves music and holds all musicians in contempt. He loves to fight, but hates to be a soldier. He's a very good friend and a very, very bad enemy. So this is the kind of person you're dealing with. And he is governed by his traditions more than by laws.
The U.S. is part of a conflict that has roiled this remote border region for decades. The tribal areas are a kind of wild west, one of the last holdouts against the seemingly inevitable expansion of the modern globalized world. The ambitions of the British, and then a century later the Russians, foundered here in the face of local resistance. The challenge for America and for Pakistan is to convert local resistance into local support. It won't be easy.